Colossians 3. If you need a Bible, you want to stick your hand up. Not sure what page it's on, actually. I haven't got one. I've got my one. So. Colossians 3, verse 1. Actually, before I read it, one of the reasons I asked the girls to do that last song that they did was because this is about new life in Christ and the way that that should work itself out. And I thought that was a great song. Instead of putting ourselves before others, thinking we can do better than others, it seemed quite appropriate. 1184. Colossians 3, verse 1. So since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master who is in heaven. Amen. Let's just pray for God's word and pray for Chung. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that as Chung shares your word with us this morning, it would go forth in power. Lord, just anoint her. Just give her your peace. Give her your authority. Give her your confidence. And allow her just to be free and to be herself. But Lord, as she speaks, may your word bring life. May it bring challenge. May it bring freedom. May it bring change. For your glory. Amen.
Good morning, church. Today, I'm here to worship, and I'm here to bow down, to say that my God is here with me today. My name is Jung, by the way, and I've been a Christian for 7 years, And my conversion happened very unexpectedly and rather dramatically. And for the first 3 years as a Christian, I still continued to wrestle with the doubt and assurance, because my feelings often conflicted with my own understandings of God's promises. I knew that what the Bible said, but I did not feel saved and forgiven. Moreover, I could not forgive certain people in my life at the time. However, the deeper salvation moment came after 3 years of slow burn, which God had used to drive me to question and seek Him out, and to convict me of my sins and convince me of the truth, and to deliver me into the arms of the loving and worthy Savior, Jesus Christ. There are no magic words. There was a change in my very being, which is that a real repentance. From disbelief to faith. From walking in my own way to learning to walk in the way of God. Finally, Jesus became my Lord and my Savior. As Christians, we should keep searching for the strong unity of two words. As you can see, God's way. Every day, we must fight back against my ways. Just like the pictures that you see, that there is no exit on the road of my ways. So now I'm so glad to announce that we are all here this morning to seek God's way. And I love to call it the amazing grace from above. Today, we're going to look at God's way in Colossians chapter 3. So let's take four sections. The first three each begins with a very dramatic statement. First, verse 1 to 4. You've been raised with Christ. Paul says you must learn to focus on things above. Secondly, 5 to 11, put to death. Wrong things in our lives must be killed off. Verse 12 to 16, get some new clothes. There are new things to wear. And finally, fourth section, that one priority is to get your relationship sorted out. Okay, so firstly, that what does it mean to be raised with Christ and to set our minds, set your hearts on things above? And I'll read from verse 1 to 4 again. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with Him in glory. When Paul says to Colossians, set your hearts things above, he's wanting us to feel that every feeling and action and relationship each day is in the presence of risen Christ. In the prayer that Jesus taught us, we are to be consumed with God's name being hallowed and His kingdom and His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. In the reality of our relationship with Christ in each moment, we know that we are the children of God and we are enabled and re-empowered to release the heaven into any situation in which we find ourselves. From here, I'd like to add a very amazing challenge set by Jesus Christ. Let's listen to what Jesus declares. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. The forceful man lay hold of it. I mean, for many years, I could not understand the exact meaning of this, and more precisely, I had no idea what it really meant to forcefully advance the kingdom of heaven. And then in time, it became clear through Paul. From the moment Paul encountered Jesus on the way to the road to Damascus until his death in Rome, he continued to advance with towards and through the kingdom of God on earth. So let's see the Paul's example of advancing heaven. At Book of Acts in chapter 14 to 19, verse 19, 12, 23, Paul was stoned at Lystra in modern-day Turkey. That was his first mission trip with Barnabas and his disciple, Timothy. I'll read from verse 19 to 23. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to the city, he made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed to the Lord in whom they had believed. I mean, this is an amazing story. Almost dead Paul, he still went on his mission the next day. And we can see that the heavenly result in verse 22, strengthening the souls of disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Paul had definitely set his mind, set his heart on things above, and he persistently followed the teachings of Jesus Christ. So let's see the book of Matthew, chapter 28 and 16 to 20. We can see that what Jesus commanded to his disciples. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's what Jesus said to us. Now verses from 5 to 11, we'll see that Paul says there are things that we must put to death to focus on the kingdom of God. I'll read the verse again. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but you must also rid yourself of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Christ is all and is all in all. There are thousands of ways of being religious in the world. I knew this because I'm from Confucian culture, and also I have a Buddhist background as well. I had the same rules as Paul mentioned in Colossians chapter 2. Do and do not rule. So many times at school, at home, at so many places while I was in Korea. Even though I was doing so many wrong things secretly and lied to cover up bad things I've done, but still pretended I was morally clean and civilized. Seemingly, I was a good girl by human standards, but I did not know God's way of living. My parents and school and society taught me how to be successful no matter what, to live comfortably. But when I quickly built my house on sand, I fell with a great crash. God in time cleansed me of all these that I was proud of. He made me hunger for the truth and meaning. He taught me to make hard choices in cutting out all my desires, which I enjoyed but knew were wrong. It was a moment that when God's real work began within me, holding my new life with knowing the truth that Jesus Christ really died for me and resurrected to be my living hope. And since then, I began to put to death many of my desires, greed, and my idolatry. I remind you what Jesus said about things to cut it off in the book of Mark 9-14. If your hand caused you to sin, cut it off. It's kind of a scary sentence, isn't it? But now, we're going to look at the section 3, that new clothes that God gives us. And from that, we can, you know, we'll know how we develop a heavenly mindset. I'll read from 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, and humility, and gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with a gratitude in your heart. Through this entire section, Paul has written in terms of putting off our way and putting on Christ's way. That suggests that this ought to be done every morning and reflect at the beginning of the day on the character of Jesus. His compassion, his humility, his gentleness, and his patience. God's chosen people ought to put on these daily qualities that reflect the character of Jesus Christ. The final section, verses from 17 to 25, is about how we actually practice love. Especially for these verses that I would like us to read this in the Message Bible versions. I'll read. Let every details in your lives, words, and action, whatever be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the Master. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Do not take advantage of them. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the Master no end. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children, or you will crush their spirit. Servants, do whatever what you are told by your earthly masters, and don't just do minimum that you'll get you by. Do your best. Work from your heart for a real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The solemn servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up your bad work. And masters, treat your servants considerately. Be fair with them. Don't forget for a minute that you too serve a master, God in heaven. I think Paul wants us to get every horizontal relationship we have in line with our vertical relationship with God, which means that if you sort out your relationship with your God first, then your horizontal relationship with family, friends, co-workers, church members, and so on will be also reconciled. Do you have any problems with any family members or friends or co-workers, neighbors? I was the one who had anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language in my mouth towards people close to me. Not to people that I don't know much well. It was my ex-husband, my parents, my son, and my friends, and my co-workers. And especially I tried to forgive and bless them for who I used to hate, who I used to curse, who I used to blame, who I used to slander. But I failed so many times to forgive with my own practices. It was a hard time, I must tell you. I cried a lot, and I suffered a lot for my sorrow at the beginning. But when I saw Jesus' hands, his feet, nailed through the cross for me, amazingly, I felt so much love. Since knowing and realized that Jesus loves me so much, all the wrong relationships I used to have turned into blessings and forgiving relationships. I can share in detail if anyone wants to hear it later. So, church, let's look around. Are you busy being a loving husband, submissive wife, and good parents, and good children, and good bosses, and good workers without submitting your life to God? Let's look up. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, He will extend our earthly level of love into His kingdom of heaven. The ripples of God's love come to you first, then to your home, then to church, and then to your work, then maybe whole London, maybe whole UK, and to all nations. Paul not only tied himself to the cross where Jesus died for him, but he also strongly experienced the power of resurrection in Christ. His self-centered instinct ended. He now understood God's love and put it into practice, the heavenly way of living on earth, through loving Jesus, who came down from heaven to earth, who took upon himself the form of servant, who suffered and died for the sins of the world. But we are strongly attached to the earthly desires. We want to hold a high-class position. We want to be served and rule. And we want to have a comfortable life. And some still want to acquire worldly success through following Jesus. Just like Judah, who wanted wealth and power. Some wants to use Jesus' name for solving their problems only. Just as the Jewish people wished for Jesus to lead a war against the Romans. But Paul became the forceful man who was advancing the kingdom of God. Through Paul, his disciple Timothy saw that heaven was released onto this earth through suffering for Christ. Let's see Paul, the verses that Paul reminded Timothy of how he was persecuted at Lystra. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 to 11, I'll read. Paul says to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and suffering, what kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch." He was stoned almost, you know, to death. "Iconium and Lystra, the persecution that I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them." And then we also read the how he taught the Philippians, chapter 4 to 8 to 9. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and God of peace will be with you." But Paul experienced the cross effect, and he practiced how to live as a witness of risen Christ. I call it a new life, redemption, and sanctification. So let's meditate on a familiar worship song called "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." We can imagine Paul winning the fight with himself by remembering Christ's love. And let us strengthening through listening, let us strengthen our submission to the way of the cross. Let's listen.
"When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour content on all.